Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got the second full hour of More Than Money this Saturday morning. Starting to gray up out there a little bit. When I was up this morning, ooh, sunrise was gorgeous. It was a day that you would say nothing could possibly go wrong. It's just that beautiful out there. And then I listened to the radio and heard we're going to get 77 inches of snow and ice and rain. And then the young lad at the coffee shop drenched me in coffee. And then I broke my headset. Oh, I know. But life has gotten much better since then because I haven't been drenched in the last hour. Everything is still working. Although Gunther did suggest that if I dropped coffee in my lap, I'd be up all night. He said he'll explain that to me later. If you missed the first hour of More Than Money, first of all, we're sorry we missed you, but it is Saturday. Some folks get to sleep in a little bit. And you would like to go, darn, sounds like they had a pretty good time. We did. We answered some fantastic questions. Some of the callers are absolutely fantastic. Mary giving us some very wise counsel about worrying about bank accounts that may become dormant, whether you think they are or not. Gentleman too tried to talk on the radio asking about Bitcoins. Nancy talking about a great call about ETFs, fantastic. Jim had a great call about self-directed IRAs, whether you can put gold coins inside a self-directed IRA, what the rules are or are not. We talked about wealth inequality. We talked about a lot of cool stuff. You say, hey, geez, wish I had heard that. You still can. Monday at noon, it'll be posted to our website. John does his magic. Shortly after the show is over, Joanne does her magic Monday morning. And at about noon, you can go to morethanmoneyonline.com, go to the radio button. It takes you right to the archives, and you can check that out. Before the break, we started talking about annuities, pros and cons, different types, and where they might fit. We're going to answer that question first. We have a question in the queue about 529 plans and how they might work. An interesting question about what can or can't be done about IRAs, but of course, you are our number one priority. 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900 takes you right to More Than Money show this morning, and we're happy to answer your questions. Cold indeed, not nearly as cold as they had feared. I expected this morning at 5:30 to be seeing -9, -10, and we had minus numbers, but rapidly got up to, by the time I left at 6:15, it was 4 or 5 degrees, and very little wind, so it doesn't feel bad. So, but weather is on its way. Gene, weather's on its way. Not terribly useful. Wintry weather on its way, they tell us, about midday. So please be careful as you make your travel plans. Markets ended strongly yesterday, some would say, because there is some hint that Greece and the Eurozone are going to reach an agreement on the resolution of Greek debt. Oh, that's yet to be seen, but that was enough to encourage the stock market. The Dow jumped dramatically after kind of sputtering throughout the bulk of the trading session, ended up 150 to the good or more, NASDAQ to the good, S&P to the good. Lots of good stuff going on there. Oil hanging right at the $50 a barrel level. That's an important number to kind of process maybe on a week-by-week basis. I don't think you need to track it hour by hour, but at one point, it was $43, $44 a barrel, and there was some concern about it dropping below production value or production cost. That would have caused a real issue, a real disruption in energy. Has not happened, and as you may have noted, the price at the pump has grown a bit. It's not dreadful, but it's certainly a bit higher than it was 10 days, 2 weeks ago. Gold closed right around $1,200 an ounce. Above its low, well below its high. Silver, same kind of an idea, just to give you a sense. Just as a caution, I know a fair number of you out there either have invested in real estate investment trusts, REITs, sometimes called REITs. Some of them were issued by the American Realty Capital Company, ARC, ARC is what they go by. There are many different flavors of REITs that they have issued. There's a New York Recovery REIT. There's a bunch of them. These are typically non-traded REITs, but they sometimes have converted to traded REITs, but they are the subject of a number of lawsuits. Tia Cref has filed a suit against American Realty Capital. The New York Retirement Pension Group has filed a lawsuit. The Ohio Retirement Fund has filed a lawsuit. My guess is there are others. Lots of issues going on there. If you are an investor in an American Realty Capital REIT, at the very least, you need to know what's going on and need to be informed so that you can make appropriate decisions for yourself going forward as to whether you hold or not, continue to hold those REITs. 800,000 consumers that used healthcare.gov to access Obamacare. That wonderful, smooth running healthcare system. By the way, the president is very happy that we call it Obamacare. So those of you that are getting ready to type in the email, Gene, you are being so... He prefers the term Obamacare. Don't be giving me the Affordable Care Act thing. He likes it. Why he would be... Actually, I know why he's proud of this, but that's for another time. 800,000 people got the wrong tax information. It was announced yesterday that that is wrong. Many of them, 50,000 or so, they guesstimate have already filed their taxes. They're going to have to refile. Congratulations. Aren't you happy? Secondarily, those who have not yet, the president's spokesman, who is a twit, says, not to worry. Come on. It's all good. We absolutely are sure that we're going to have this resolved in time. For April 15th. So those of you that are sitting there going, well, I'm sure that's something they can fix in a day or two, and I can get my taxes in quickly so I can get my refund, they are confident they can have it fixed. Confident they have it fixed by April 15th. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Before the top of the hour, we started looking at an email from Stephanie. I will repeat the email in case you're just joining us. Gene, there's so much advertising now about annuities. I'd like to know if they're as good as they sound. What are the pros and cons? Is there a particular type of annuity, say a fixed index one, that's a better choice? We've already talked about lots of advertising because there's lots of money to be spent advertising. I have been approached more times than I can tell you by marketing organizations representing annuity companies who say, we will pay all the costs of your radio show. All you have to do is kind of follow our script. And I said, let me think about that. No. Come on. We pride ourselves on the agenda that we have is to serve the needs of our clients. The agenda is not to serve the need of an annuity company or a marketing organization or whoever's going to pay us a 12% commission. So lots of advertising. It's because there's lots of money to be made. Are they as good as they sound? Yes and no. Salesmen, sadly, are very, very good at highlighting the good news, and they're pretty good at being amnesiac. Is that a word? He has amnesia. Amnesiafication. Amnesiafication. Sorry, that's a George Bush. About being forgetful or being less clear about they're good at the pros, not so good at the cons. So various types of annuities, fixed, which is like a tax sheltered CD. You get a fixed principal, fixed interest rate for a fixed period of time. 5-year tax-deferred annuity paying you 1.75% per year, principal guaranteed, interest guaranteed, go home. Pros, you know exactly what you're getting. There is no risk to your principal whatsoever. The cons, interest rates right now are pretty low. By the way, on the pro side, tax deferred. So you're not going to pay any tax until you withdraw the money. And that can be deferred for a very long time. So there's some interesting uses of current fixed rate annuities for folks who are annoyed at their banks going, you're paying me 0.0 something. So you know what? I'll go to an annuity. I can afford to tie this up. I don't need the money for 5 years. I'll get 1.75. I have no risks. I sleep like a baby. Life goes on. Fantastic. Now, if you're going to do that for a very long time, hoping that you're going to grow your money dramatically, that makes no sense. That's not the tool that does that. You're looking at the Prius and saying, I also want it to go 160 miles an hour. That would be wrong. So for this particular type of annuity, this particular tool, safety, security, but growth, no. So then we go to the opposite end, variable annuities. Variable annuities, typically, you put your money in, you pick the investments. There's no guaranteed principal. There's no guaranteed return. The guarantee is you are guaranteed to be able to pick your investments. And you are guaranteed that you will do as well with your performance as you do well picking investments. And in some cases, you will pick them. In some cases, a financial advisor will assist you. In some cases, it'll be a combo pack. It doesn't matter. Somebody will pick the investments, not the annuity company. It's still tax deferred, meaning you will pay tax in the future, but it's you're not going to pay it year by year by year. You have lots of control. That's fantastic. No guarantees either of principal or interest, but also no restrictions. So if you invest well, could you make 20% a year? You could. You could. It would take a bit of skill, maybe a bit of luck. But is it possible instead of 1.75 that you could average, I'm picking a number out of thin air, 5.75? It's possible if you invest correctly. Pretty cool stuff. Another advantage of the variable annuities is that many of them offer riders today, options you pay a little extra for, where you can get a guaranteed lifetime income. And in some cases, you can get a guaranteed lifetime income for your lifetime and your spouse's. That's pretty cool. So a lot of cool stuff about variable annuities. What's the downside? No guarantees. And the expense ratios, the amount of money you are paying for the management and the insurance, yada, 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 is easily double what you would pay if you were simply investing with a financial advisor at Charles Schwab. Now, fixed indexed annuities, one of the most popular in terms of being advertised, being sold on radio, TV, and in books, is the fixed indexed annuity. And when I say most popular, it means it has the highest marketing budget. It means the annuity companies are making the most money and can pay out the most number of dollars to promote it at the highest level. It is not the most popular in terms of its use. The advantage of a fixed indexed annuity, principal protection. Again, if you're interested in making sure your principal does not go down, it can be something you should take a peek at. Second advantage is that instead of being fixed at 1.75% per year, you could potentially make more money. And I say potentially because you potentially make zero. The guarantee that you will not lose money does not offer a guarantee that you will make money. Now, some fixed indexed annuities do offer that guarantee, that there's a minimum of, say, 0.5% or 1% that you might be guaranteed to make. But there's also a limit to what you will make on the upside. Now, there are recently been a number of salespeople out there going, hey, now you can do it unlimited. Folks, FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, along with life insurance commissioners across every state in America, have agreed that fixed indexed annuities, annuities of all kinds, but particularly fixed indexed annuities, are some of the most complex, difficult to understand financial products available to the American public today. So when they say you can earn as there's no limit to what you can earn, I guarantee you there is. If for no other reason, there is a tremendous amount of income that the company will draw off of your annuity, and that's got to come from someplace. So a lot of salesmen are touting fixed index annuities as having no fees. I'm hearing less of that lately. I would like to take some small amount of credit for that, because I've been banging the drum now for 2 years, telling everyone that will listen that if your fixed indexed annuity salesman is telling you there are no fees, he or she is lying to you. Whoa, that was pretty bold. Don't you mean he wasn't as forthcoming? No, he's lying to you. How can there be no fees if he or she is making a 6, 8, 10, 12, 14% commission? Well, if commission's not actually a fee, and it doesn't actually come from you, it comes, oh, come on. Folks, we got to be more financially mature than that. We can't afford to be naive like that. Now, having said all that, does that make a fixed indexed annuity a bad thing? No, let's go back to the fundamental premise. Financial instruments are tools. If you hate CD rates right now and you're willing to give up all control over your money and know that you have no moving parts, that's called a fixed annuity. If you're in a high tax bracket and you're really concerned about the whole idea that you every time you make money in your investments, you have to pay tax on it, you would like some tax sheltering, some tax deferral, that's a variable annuity. If you would like a lifetime guaranteed income, one that you cannot outlive, kind of like a private pension, that might be a variable annuity as well. If you want something kind of in the middle, where you get a guarantee of principal, maybe even a modest guarantee of return, and the opportunity to make a little better rate of return, that's a fixed indexed annuity. In every case, there are fees. In every case, there are complexities, and in every case, it takes a real commitment to understanding to figure out whether these fit for you or not. If you happen to be a person who's out there right now going, you know what, I'm in it. I think this is for me. I think some form of annuity is for me. And by the way, I met with a salesman, and we acknowledge he was a salesman or she was a salesman, And they present, it sounded great. Make sure you get a second opinion. Make sure you get a second opinion. And hopefully from a registered investment advisor. Because a lot of the salesmen are licensed only by insurance licenses. They are neither trained nor qualified to give you investment advice. They're not licensed. They're not legally intended. In almost every case, quite the opposite. They are not legally qualified to give you financial investment advice. And if they are life insurance licensed only, they are not what are referred to legally as fiduciaries. Registered investment advisors, more than money advisors, MTM advisors, are exactly that, registered investment advisors. By law, fiduciaries, meaning they put your best interest first. Life insurance salesmen have no such requirement. So make sure that if you're being pitched a sales pitch on an annuity of any type, fixed, fixed indexed, or variable, you get a second opinion. Take your time. Be very, very thoughtful. If it fits you in the ultimate, that's fantastic. And if it doesn't, you may have saved yourself quite a bit of heartache. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Several emails. Gentleman writes, and it's a very, very long email. I went all the way back to the beginning. I think this is what he's referring to. Has there been any thought given to allowing retirees to use their IRA money to pay off their mortgage without incurring a tax, with no interest being paid on bank CDs? This would allow retired people to get out of debt, get a decent rate of return on their cash without subjecting it to a market rate of return. Let me answer it in two ways. If you're asking, has there been any consideration about allowing mortgages inside IRAs? The answer is no. However, I think there's a way around this that may actually end up being fairly useful. I'm just using very simple numbers. Let's say that the mortgage payments that you're making, $500 a month, picking a number, are interest payments, and they're tax deductible. If you take a withdrawal from your IRA of $500 a month, that will be taxable, reported as taxable income, $6,000 for the year. Your mortgage interest, $6,000 for the year, will be tax deductible. One might very well wash out the other. So indirectly, can you get money out of an IRA and pay no income tax on it and pay down debt? In my very simplistic mind, I'm not saying I'm simple-minded. That's not what I'm saying. In my simplistic approach, I think that makes sense. So it may very well end up working out to have the same effect. Thank you, Bob. Good email. Sonia writes, my friend has two sons in college, and she has 529 plans for each. This year, she used those funds to pay for their tuition. Who reports these on their income tax return, the parents or the sons? In almost every case, it will be the parents. And I say in almost every case, and here's why. 529 plans have both owners and beneficiaries, so to speak. In almost every case, the parents, many cases the grandparents, are the owners. The kids are the beneficiaries. If you are the owner and you've released these funds, it gets reported on your tax return. Just as when you made the contribution, hopefully you got a tax deduction on your Pennsylvania state return for making the contribution, not your child. You got the deduction, not your child. You report the withdrawal, not your child. Now, I say in almost every case, because is it possible for a student to own the 529 plan? The answer is yes. It's not typical, particularly in this particular case, as Sonia has described it, but it is absolutely possible. For example, I set up a 529 plan for my daughter. She gets tremendous scholarship. I could take the money out if I wanted. I choose not to. I leave it there, and a couple of years later, I decide to go back to school and get an advanced degree, a PhD in psychology. I can absolutely do that and use the 529 plan funds to benefit myself tax-free. That's an unusual set of circumstances. Sonia, the one that you've described, I think is pretty straightforward. And in this case, it would be the parents, I believe, that will be reporting that. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Patrick. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gene.
How may we serve you, sir?
Hey, Gene, 5 years ago, I changed jobs. And about 4 years ago, I started getting notification from my old employer that they wanted me to get out of their 401k.
Sure.
So I had to roll it over.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine told me of a product he bought at the Wells Fargo Bank, the financial advisor there, a variable rate annuity.
Yep.
And he said it's a guaranteed 10% a year for the first 10 years. Of course, you can't touch the money for 10 years. Sounded too good to be true. It's, you know, a mountain of paper, you know, stuff comes in the mail constantly. He said if the market does better than 10%, you know, you'll earn more than 10%, but they'll pay you 10% a year for giving you their money for 10 years.
I'm with you, Patrick. Sounds too good to be true. I'm not familiar. How long ago did this gentleman acquire this contract?
It was me. I rolled my 401k. Four years ago.
Now, 4 years ago, and again, I'm having trouble remembering this morning, so my memory might be a little suspicious. There are ever-changing offers within the annuity community. Is it possible that you got a 10-year guarantee of 10%? I guess it's possible. Wells Fargo, I don't think, would be the issuing annuity company. There would be an underlying...
With an insurance company.
Insurance company, of course. Now, having said that, I pray that what you understand is exactly right. I suspect it is not. And at some point, would be very wise of you just to spend a little bit of time. How much money are we talking about in terms of an investment?
It was about 130.
It's a serious sum of money, my friend. So it is absolutely appropriate that you would look at it, look for a second opinion. Now, I have seen annuities where there are guarantees based on increasing income, for example. It could grow at 10% a year for 10 years rather than guaranteed return on principal. I've also seen programs where there is a guaranteed doubling if you hang on to the onto your investment for a certain number of years. So do I suspect that this is dreadful? No, and I pray not. But I do suspect that a 10% guarantee per year for 10 years is something that I don't recall in my memory over the last 4 or 5 years was available. And I would suspect that you would benefit from sitting with a financial advisor who would, you know, spend a little bit of time, get a firm understanding of what you have, and either confirm that you've got a really fantastic product or else.
Yeah.
So to speak. So before the end of the show, we'll give you some contact information. If you'd like to arrange a second opinion, we'd be happy to do that for you. There's no charge whatsoever.
Well, thank you, Gene.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
610-720-7900 as we come up on the half-hour break. Ted Hike has sent me an email. He's wondering if I will ever answer his email. Tom sent me an email. We'll answer that. It's about Obamacare. We'll answer that after the break. Goodness gracious. I keep thinking that I'm going to run out of stuff, and I haven't even scratched the surface here. Speaking of scratching your surface, if you'd like us to assist you in scratching your surface, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. We're back after this on More Than Money.
I don't know how you keep on giving.
Welcome back to the home of explanations. And John, just to finish that thought, the explanation is, doesn't matter the number on that side, I still won't remember.
Oh, good.
Still won't remember. We're just talking about one of the advantages of getting a little older. People go, geez, it's so frustrating, I can't remember. I wasn't kidding this morning. If you were with us earlier, I mean, literally, the gentleman handed, it's not a gentleman, it was a child, and an incompetent child at that, handed me my coffee. The lid was not on. I took one, and I was drenched from my chin to my knees in coffee. And I mean, he gave me like 30 paper towels. Now, if he had any training, there's 100 things he should have done. He didn't do any of them. So he should be literally kicked out the back door and give somebody that job that can do the job. Because there's lots of people out there that want a good job, and this is, it's pretty cool stuff. Really bad thing. Then I walk in here, and I snap on my headsets, and snap is the right word because I snapped them right in half. So you go, and you know what? I'm about 7 minutes away from I won't remember either one of those things, and that's a huge advantage. It's a huge advantage. I am certain that in the 15 years that Diane and I have been together, that we've had disagreements. I'm certain of it. I just don't remember any of them, which makes it pretty good because, you know, like 3 or 4 days later, if now she's long since stopped, because there was a time many, many years ago, she would say, sweetheart, on Monday when we had that disagreement, I wanted to, and then she would look at me and within just a few seconds, because she's so smart. And I think the blank deer in the headlights stare that I'm giving her, you don't remember, do you? I'm sorry. No, it's all good. I don't. I just don't remember those kinds of things. Folks go, I'm gonna haunt you, dude. I'm not even gonna remember you. Yeah, I'm gonna do something so bad to you that you're gonna remember it. I'm not gonna remember it until like noon. I'm just not. I got so many other stuff. I'll tell you what, and this is, God bless. God, I am blessed beyond belief. God just smiles on me. In addition to giving me poor memory, by the way, it's poor selective memory, because I remember all the good stuff, all the fantastic stuff. But I am I just don't hold on to a lot of that other stuff. This morning driving down, it was so beautiful. And we talked about wealth inequality, and you're like, on, hey, you're so blessed. And, you know, from a financial standpoint, no question about it. But I was, because I'm listening to Gunther, Rescue 1250. And it's been, gosh, 15, 16 years I've been taking products. And we had a great dinner last night. A lot of our friends, a bunch of the guys that we play softball with from the church and their wives, and our center fielder, who's the son of our shortstop, and he's a great kid, and he just came out of Penn State, and he's got a great job, and he's doing, and you just smile, and you go, hey, seven, 8 weeks, we're back playing softball. How do you not just smile? How do you not just say, thank you, Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful thing. Being grateful. Gratitude is a powerful, powerful thing. You want to be wealthy? Just start thanking. And when I say thanking, I don't just mean like, you know, the guy that hands you the coffee and keeps the lid on. Hey, thanks for putting the lid on. No, I'm talking about like just, how about glancing to the heavens once in a while and going, what a sunrise. Oh, my word. Middle of February is supposed to be just dreadful, and yeah, maybe it will be. So what? At this moment, it is gorgeous. And despite the fact I only had half a cup of coffee, like the coffee was good. Come on. You got to be thankful. 610-720-79. That was the brief, unpaid endorsement for what? God. It's just God. I mean, I love the State Theater, don't get me wrong, and Aaron Healthcare and Aaron Resources, Aaron Jobs, fantastic. A Sound Strategy, I love those guys. Daily Grind, you know I love the Daily Grind. Tech Data Services, Pinnell Law Group, Ash Brokerage, Equus Platform, all these folks, they're fantastic supporters of More Than Money. And I'm really grateful for them. But a lot of the stuff that I'm just like, you got to just like look to the sky and say thank you. Thank you so very much. Speaking of thank you to Ted Hykus. He sent me an email. He has a client that he's counseling this week. Needs to understand the taxation differences between inheriting a life insurance policy or an annuity. They're really different. Let's use $100,000 as an example. You receive a $100,000 check from a life insurance contract. Let's say it was your dad. Your dad passes away. He had a $100,000 life insurance. You get the money. How much of that is taxable on your income tax return? Correct. Zero. Zero. Now, under most cases, it is taxable to your dad's estate. That's a different question. But your income tax is zero. 100 grand at zero. Now, dad had an annuity. It's $100,000. How much of that is taxable? We've only used the phrase a couple times today, but here it comes. It depends. Because if your dad invested, and I'm picking a number out of thin air as an example, if your dad invested $30,000, it's now worth $100,000. Uncle Sam says that $70,000 of profit has never been taxed. And because it's an annuity, unlike other items that get some special tax treatment at death, an annuity does not. So I inherit $100,000. I owe tax on $70,000. Hopefully that helps Ted a little bit. I'm certain it's not going to make the client very happy because I'm pretty sure the client expected that it was going to be tax-free. It is not. One of our longtime listeners and a gentleman who I absolutely know he loves listening to the show because he loves annoying me to the greatest extent he possibly can, which means he's my friend. He's my friend. Absolutely. Now, women, this is hard for you to understand, but guys, we're like that. We're like that. I see Gunther, I go, hey, ugly. No, he's not ugly. Come on. He looks a lot like Steve Carell, actually. If you've never met Gunther, you got to check the guy out because he looks a lot like Steve Carell. No idea why this phone is not cooperating right this moment. There we go. Much better. Well, it's better, but not much better. Bottom line is, guys, we give the hardest time to our friends. And once my wife caught on, We were out when an event someplace shortly after she kind of caught on to this whole thing. And we saw an acquaintance of mine, and, well, hello, Ray. Lovely to see you. You're looking well. Have a nice evening. We turned and walked away. She goes, you hate that guy. Because that's guys. If we're really polite to somebody, not so much. And Tom's one of the guys that likes to needle me. He writes, millions of Americans that would otherwise be uninsured now have health care under Obamacare. What's not to be proud of? Well, first thing not to be proud of, Tom, is your abject inability to understand reality. That's pretty, I wouldn't be proud of that part. The second part is that many of those millions of Americans that are insured under Obamacare already had insurance that they were promised they could keep, and they couldn't because they were lied to. That's nothing to be proud of. The way the bill was passed. We have to pass it so we know what's in it, because there's over 2,000 pages, and as Nancy Pelosi, I can't possibly understand something unless... What? That's nothing to be proud of. The way it was rolled out. Nothing to be proud of. 800,000 people getting bad intel for their taxes. Nothing to be proud of. The increased cost to virtually every taxpaying American, I get that it's only half of America, but every taxpaying American that they have to verify their Obamacare compliance through their tax preparer or themselves, the increased cost, the increased complexity, that's nothing to be proud of. Should every American have access to health care? Absolutely. Was this the way to do it? Absolutely not. Is there anything to be proud of? Not even a little bit. So that was kind of fun. Thanks. Appreciate that. Can I deduct the cost of my daughter's wedding since so many of the guests were clients and business associates? You know what? When I read the first part of that on the email, I'm going, oh my gosh, what a bozo. But I get the intent. Now, I am proud to say I do not represent the IRS. I'm proud of that. So is it possible that you could, under some scenario, convince an IRS agent that's kosher? Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I'm a great believer in taking every available deduction. If it's gray, take it. That's my philosophy. My wife, because she's a professional and way smarter than I am, says, wait. You got to have a reasonable probability. You've got to have good documentation. You've got to have you got to be able to cite case law that supports you. To be fair, I haven't been able to find anything that would support deducting your daughter's wedding. It doesn't matter that they're business associates. It doesn't matter they're clients. By the way, if you try to justify that by going, look, I went table to table and I talked business at my daughter's wedding, either you're going to get laughed out of the room or worse, your daughter's going to hear about that and punch the lights out of you. I think the answer on this one is no. I think you let it go. Clients and business associates, you already got your benefit. If you invited them to your daughter's wedding, one of two things. Either it's because you're close to them and you're doing a great job and you're building a long-term relationship. That's fantastic. Or not. It's just that simple. Gentleman writes, I want to set up a trust for my son to give him access to funds. But I want to set it up where he has certain things he must do in order to qualify to receive his funds. Grades in school, graduation, for example, having a job, etc. Is it legal to do that inside a trust? The answer is, oh, yes. Yes, it is. Lots of people do not realize that a trust is... And you can set up trust for hundreds of reasons, and there's dozens of different types of trust. But if in this case... for example, I have three daughters. I'm proud beyond belief of all three of them. Could I set up a trust for each of them that has different qualifications? Maybe my oldest daughter, that she is required to complete a college degree, sure. Maybe the middle daughter that she is employed, sure. Maybe the younger daughter that she graduates from high school, sure. You can set those up. They can be employment related. They can be personal related. I would never do this. Hey, you have to be married by a certain age in order to qualify. You can do that. I think it's ridiculous. I wish I hadn't used that as an example. I wish I had a better one. Bottom line is, yes. So don't feel that you are handcuffed by, geez, the law only allows me in a trust to do. If you can think of it, there's a very real possibility that it's legal and acceptable. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, under the category of loyal listener and annoying, Tom responded, it's even worse. So we're not going to embarrass Tom anymore because it just gets worse. 610-720-7900. One of my favorites. I got this Thursday. Young lady writes, my 401k plan at work is doing very poorly. That's a shame. Who's the person at my company that I should look for and who's responsible for getting this back on track? And as soon as I read that, I you know what? You got to smile. Because when and I use this on the radio show or on TV show. So I said, hey, here's what you need to do. When you go into work tomorrow morning, and you're at your desk, and you're now looking for the person responsible. Open your purse and take out a mirror, and look in it, because the person responsible for your 401k performance is you. And I have not met this young lady. I've not had even verbal conversations. It's just email. But clearly, I think her heart's in the right place. Clearly, she's trying to do the right thing. She's a young lady. She's in a 401k. Fantastic. Lots of young folks aren't. So she's doing a lot of the right things. But somewhere along the line, somebody's dropped the ball. And the employer's responsibility in this case is not zero. Even though it's her responsibility to make sure her investments fit her, and if they're doing poorly, to make changes. In my opinion, I don't know that this is legally correct. I wish my good friend Scott Barr were here, because he would correct me if what I'm going to say next is incorrect. Actually, Scott would correct me even if it wasn't. That's a friend. Come on. Straighten you right out even if you don't need straightening out. I think the employer's responsibility in the 401k is to educate, to inform the employees of their responsibilities, maybe offer up some resources that will help guide them to making good decisions. Maybe offer up, hey, at the very least, listen to More Than Money Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. Because if you got questions about your 401k, you can call in, you can email, these guys will help you with your 401k for free. And we absolutely will. And happy to do that. But I think the employer has some responsibility. Whether it's legal or not, I'm not sure. Scott will square me away on that. But I think they have some responsibility in informing, educating their employees that it is on the employee's shoulder to ensure that they're doing the best job that they can from an investment standpoint. It is absolutely part of the employer's role to educate. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Joe. Joe, good morning, sir.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
Yes, I have a question. I had an LLC.
Yeah.
Let me just get the other phone.
Hello? Pardon me?
You hear me?
I can now.
Yes. I had an LLC that I had had for a while, and I had no activity on it, so I decided to close it, but the last year I had no activity. I had a late, I filed late. Mm-hmm. Everything was, you know, basically zero. And they sent me up, I had a penalty they assessed, but then I had my lawyer send him a look into that, and he said since I had no activity and had only one member of the LLC that I really didn't have to file a tax return. So I fought that, and they finally agreed, and they sent me the money back with interest of like $20.
Yep.
And now, since I last year I closed it out, so this is my last tax return. Since now I had $21 of interest, they sent me a statement in the mail. Now, do I have to file another tax return this year?
Yep.
Okay. Do I have to do any other paperwork because I said last year that that was my last tax return?
The check that they sent to you, was it in the name of the LLC or was
right,
it? It was in the name of the LLC. My wife and our team, Daryl and Janine, and those folks are the experts. But I strongly suspect, sadly, that you're going to have to file a return. Do you use a professional tax preparer?
Yes.
Excellent. I would suggest, and maybe it's more in the form of a request of my preparer. Is there a way that we can report this on my personal return so that I don't have to file all the LLC junk? And I'm still willing to pay the tax. Absolutely. I want to do that. But maybe file it on the personal side and attach a letter of explanation. I think that might do it. I think it's logical, and it's certainly worth asking the question.
Okay, I appreciate that.
No problem, sir. You take care.
Thanks a lot.
610-720-7900. The lesson, by the way, kind of behind the scenes of that call, Joe went through a very, what people do not expect to be, but it is a common experience. I had an LLC. I had a company. I was running a company, and then I'm not anymore. I'm done. You think you're done. Oh, Pennsylvania does not think you're done. Pennsylvania does not think you're done until you file all the appropriate paperwork terminating the LLC and filing your final return and filing and filing. So, goodness, in Joe's case, it got pretty sticky and had to involve an attorney. I'm certain there was some cost involved. Now, the resolution was he didn't owe money. That's good, except for attorney's fees and aggravation and time lost. So if you have a company, an LLC particularly, C-Corp, S-Corp, et cetera, and it is now defunct. Wow. I know. It does sound like it should be like part of a drum line. And now the drum majors, University of Chicago, doing defunct. Sorry. It's in my head. Bottom line is you've got to wrap it up tight. And a professional tax preparer can certainly help. Actually, as I think about it, Joe has a professional tax preparer, and he wrapped that up, but they did not wrap it up for him. There's a head scratcher. That's a question I might go back to my professional tax preparer with. Hey, how did you end up hanging me out to dry on this? Just a question. 610-720-7900. Email. My dad had 529 plans for each of his 7 grandchildren. He passed away recently. Do we include the 529 plans in his probatable estate? Whew. No. Next. That's the easy answer. It's the answer you wanted. It's the answer we all want. If you can avoid probate, you want to avoid it. 529 plans have named either beneficiaries, children, or named successor owners, contingent owners. So in this case, by process of law, those accounts changed hands at your dad's passing. They do not go through the will. And probatable estate is assets passing through the will. Are they still taxable? I think they are, but I'm not 100% sure about that. There's a piece of me in the back of my mind that suspects that 529 plans may have some estate tax exemption, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If my bride's listening, she'll straighten me right out. Straighten me right out. But probatable, no. this next email is not from the same lady. But it's very interesting. It's from a couple that listens to our show regularly, and they contribute regularly, and we appreciate that very much. They recently attended a seminar that discussed living trusts, and it was presented by a company that obviously sells living trusts, and they want to know, is a living trust the best way to avoid probate? The answer is it depends. It absolutely depends. It depends on your assets. It depends on how they're structured. It depends on the number of dollars. It depends. It depends. It depends. And here's why it depends, because it goes back to the former question. What if you had $1 million in your estate, but it was all in 529 plans? Do you need a living trust? No. We already agreed they're not going to go through probate anyway. What if you had $1 million estate, a $2 million estate, but it was all in an IRA? Do you need a living will? No. IRAs have beneficiaries. It's going to go directly. It's not going to go through a will. What if you had a $4 million estate and half of it was in an IRA and half of it was in an annuity? Would you need a living trust? No, because those items go through to their beneficiaries without going through probate. What if you had a $10 million estate composed of jointly owned real estate, IRAs, annuities, life insurance? Do we need a living trust? No, because all of those items will pass directly to the beneficiaries or the joint owners by process of law without going through the will. It's not probatable. Is it possible to have a $10 million estate and have no probate whatsoever? It's slightly unusual, not dramatically unusual, slightly, but it's absolutely possible. The dollar amounts are not relevant. It's how they're titled and how it all works. Folks, we just have a couple minutes left in this edition of More Than Money, probably 90 seconds or so, sir. We mentioned to a couple of folks that we'd be happy to get them referrals, happy to give them second opinions, happy to review investments that they've got, wills that they may have, life insurance contracts, annuities, investment programs. If you would like a second opinion on any piece of your financial life, all you need to do is ask. Gene at askmtm.com works very, very well. G-E-N-E at askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com works beautifully. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. And you can always just call. It's just that simple. We're in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for spending part of your Saturday morning with us. Be safe, be warm, and be here next week when we come back with More Than Money. Time.